Welcome to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. It's Friday, it's May 20th, and it's good to talk to everyone once again. Back on the air. I'm back after vacation here at Cheesehead TV. Excited for today's show. We're going to have rookie draft choice linebacker DJ Smith as our guest at 8:30 a.m., bottom of the hour. So excited to talk to one of the newest members of the Green Bay Packers. So stick around for that. But in the meantime, we're going to get to today's news in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And fairly large headlines today. Some changes coming at Lambeau Field. Planned changes. Nothing finalized yet. But reports just yesterday, just last night, according to some meetings that the Packers had with the Stadium District Board, they are thinking about relocating Curly's Pub, the Packers Hall of Fame, and the Pro Shop. So, kind of comes as just out of nowhere, like kind of out of the blue a little bit, that they're thinking of doing these things. So, just last night, kind of breaking news here. And we have this news. I left it at the top of our live blog. If you scroll up, you click the link, it'll take you to today's Packers Daily Links. That's our top story today here at Cheesehead TV. And if you click this link that says Hall of Fame and Curly's Pub, it'll take you to WLUK-TV, their official website. And I'm just going to start off here. We're going to watch a little clip from their report last night. So bear with me here for a couple minutes while we watch their report on the relocation of the Hall of Fame, Curly's Pub, and the Pro Shop.
Plans for Lambeau Field, and among the Packers' ideas, relocating the Pro Shop, the Hall of Fame, and Curly's Pub. This comes as work on renovations inside the Stadium Bowl are just about ready to begin.
Good evening, everyone. Packers management meeting with the Stadium District Board late today to discuss the future of Lambeau Field.
And the future that includes plans for more seating at Lambeau Field, but also, as we found out today, an expansion of the Packers Hall of Fame. Fox 11's Becky DeVries brings us the new details on the Packers projects.
For about 8 years, this has been the home of the Pro Shop, but the Packers are talking about moving it to make room for the Hall of Fame.
We're really focused right now on what we can do in the stadium.
During a meeting, Weed told the Stadium District Board the Packers are looking at moving and expanding the Hall of Fame. Right now, the Packers Hall of Fame occupies about 20,000 square feet in the basement of Lambeau. Weed said he'd like to see it expanded to 30 or 35,000 square feet and brought up to the first level. The Packers Pro Shop and Curly's Pub would move to what is now the East parking lot.
It's just really in the preliminary stages. We just have some ideas that we think would work long term. We have not gotten to the point where we're prepared to, you know, commit to a final design. We don't have final pricing on that yet. That's something we're going to continue to work on.
I think they just think that, I mean, if you watch this place on game day, the access to Curly's and access to the Pro Shop are not the easiest to do. You need tickets to get in there. I think they're looking at ways to make Curly's a much more of a easily accessible place, because right now you got to come in, you park away, you go up to, you know, two floors. So I think that those are positives, but I think it's something that they've decided they'd like to do.
The plans are not final. The Packers did not present any sketches of them. The reorganization of attractions near the atrium comes as the Packers are working on a new sound system inside the bowl, which should be completed this fall. The Packers have talked about but have not completely finalized plans for changes to the south and north end zones. Plans include adding 7,000 to 8,000 new outdoor seats, as well as a roof deck for fans to check out. Weed hopes those projects will start in February and says they should take about 2 years to complete. Now, for the most part, the...
So, this news comes as a part of the... We'll say the... renovation of Lambeau Field. I would assume it'd be part of that, that they kind of plan in a couple years from now. The Packers are considering, you know, expanding the Stadium Bowl. It looks like that's not going to happen this upcoming season. They're going to implement the renovation of the sound system at Lambeau Field, but not quite ready to expand the stadium seating yet. That looks to be a year or two away, but does seem to be inevitable, though, however. So this would be part of that. What they, I think, you know, as they explained in the video, they plan to move Curly's Pub and the Pro Shop in the east parking lot. You know, build probably a structure outside the stadium. And you know, that makes sense to me. Right now, as they said, it takes a ticket to get into Curly's Pub during a game. You know, if you're just a regular fan and you want to go to Curly's Pub during a game, that's not happening. You know, you have to have a ticket to the stadium. So, you know, why do that? Why limit yourself to only ticket holders when there are people who are not going to the game that would love to come to a facility like Curly's Pub to watch the game, you know, within the vicinity of Lambeau Field? So that makes sense to me. And you're probably reducing traffic as well in the Pro Shop. If you've ever been to the Pro Shop on a game day in Lambeau Field, you almost can't move around. It's so packed. It's because everybody's there for the game. And, you know, couple hours before the game, you know, people just kind of like to wander around, look and see, and do a little window shopping as well as make plenty of purchases as well. So they're going to move those outside the facility. At least that's what the plan is. And make these changes. So with the Pro Shop and Curly's Pub out of the way, they will then move or expand the Hall of Fame to the first floor. You know, right now the Hall of Fame is completely in the basement of Lambeau Field. So they're planning on making it bigger and better, the Hall of Fame, which sounds good to me too. I don't see too many downside to these plans here, and I imagine they will take place when they, you know, they get around to finalizing. Like they say, it's just kind of an idea in their mind right now. Some comments on the live blog. David says, I'm on the fence with all the renovation stuff. It will probably be a positive. I just don't want them to mess up a good thing. And I can see that. The Packers have a very good thing right now. You don't want them to hurt it. PacFan1 says, make Curly's a bigger attraction by putting in the parking lot. So they want a bar in the lot. Okay. I think what's going to happen, what you're going to see, is that what you currently know as the parking lot to Lambeau Field isn't going to be too much of a parking lot for much longer. I mean, to an extent. The Packers now own all this land around Lambeau Field, and I think you're going to see a lot of that become parking, you know, maybe not right now, but eventually. You know, what they're going to do is they're going to move Curly's Pub probably to the current parking lot, you know, develop it, build new buildings, you know, taking up space currently used for parking, and then, move that parking elsewhere. You know, right now, they kind of have that, what is it called, the Tundra Tailgate Zone on the east side of Lambeau Field, you know, kind of that impermanent structure, just kind of temporary. You know, they have a bar out there. I think they'd like to see where that area is, a temporary structure, replaced by Curly's Pub out there in somewhere in that area. You know, also part of these plans sounds like they're planning on moving player parking underneath the stadium, down below a level. PacFan1 says, how about rip down the K Kmart and expand. Sorry, I'm more of a Target person. If I'm correct, the Packers either own, I think they own the area right around that Kmart. So if they don't own that land right now, maybe they do and they just lease it out. I'm not exactly positive, but you know, it's probably just a matter of time until that Kmart could be gone anyhow. So they have a Kmart just west of Lambeau Field right now, you know, very near the stadium. So, you know, that's a place you could see a parking lot moving. You'd be walking from the area right now is the Kmart and walking to Lambeau Field as you park over there. David says the atrium on game days is a zoo. And yes, it is. I mean, you know, the atrium itself is not huge. And everybody who comes to Lambeau Field for a game wants to see the atrium, and you can't blame them. So, I mean, you've got a good portion of the entire stadium wanting to see just the atrium itself, and especially so when it comes to, you know, cold weather games. You know, you're talking December, January, when it's below freezing, and if not below zero at Lambeau Field, and people want to warm up before the game at halftime, times like that. And so, yeah, there's, you know, I think they're wanting to make a little more room. Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know, even though I can see the Packers moving Curly's Pub outside the stadium, its own separate structure, you would think they would still want some sort of bar restaurant area, though. You know, maybe scaled back, maybe different, perhaps. But, I mean, why wouldn't you want that, you would think? I mean, you'd think still during a game there'd be a lot of people, or, you know, before or after a game, a lot of people wanting food and drink. So, you know, I don't know. The Packers, this is just, you know, very preliminary here. I can't read their mind. But these are some of the plans they are talking about. So that's kind of our headline story today. Hey, and if you want to give your two cents on what the Packers are doing or should do, feel free. We got the phone lines open. Call into the show. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Feel free to call in, share your thoughts here. Before we have DJ Smith on the line at 8:30, the bottom of the hour. So excited for that. Pac Fan 1 says, this just sounds like it would be a complete mess. I don't like it. I don't understand why it would be a complete mess. They're just moving some things. It's different, and I understand everybody's kind of hesitant to change. Nobody likes change. But give them a shot. I mean, you know, everything the Packers have done with the renovation of Lambeau Field was great. You know, everybody thinks the renovation they did, the new Lambeau Field, you know, was just a fantastic, fantastic idea. They have done little wrong when they did that. Backfan 1 admits, I don't like change. Yes, everybody's hesitant to change. It is tough. It is tough getting used to a new environment. So, but we'll see, you know. I think you give the Packers a chance here. I think you give them a shot to, you know, make these changes and see how it goes. I think what a lot of people might be scared of, and they talk about this with the Stadium Development District, all these things they're talking about doing around Lambeau Field, like adding hotels, adding baseball fields, you know, for youth games, tournaments, things like that. You know, they're worried at some point that they're going to go to the taxpayers again and get their help in building all these things. You know, everything we've heard of so far, all the renovation to Lambeau Field, the Stadium Bowl, you know, that's all going to be financed by the Packers themselves, by the organization themselves. So as of yet, we haven't heard any taxpayers are going to be, you know, charged. They're going to seek their help for this. I don't know if they would give their help as well, but anyhow, so that's how things are shaping up right now. And before we have DJ Smith here at 8:30, let's take a look at a couple of the other items in today's news for the Green Bay Packers. Heading back to today's Daily Links. And before I get to the Daily Links, once again, I haven't mentioned yet today at all. By all means, if you're listening live here at 8 o'clock, just past 8 o'clock a.m., Lambeau time, Central time, and you want to participate on our live blog, feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, and your comments will pop right up on our live blog, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. That's what we have it there for. And just your plain old comments are being approved on Cover It Live via our moderator extraordinaires, Jamie Jowers and Alex Talich. Thank you very much. Other items in the news today, going back to today's Packers Daily Links, if we scroll down a little bit, James Jones, wide receiver James Jones, is being honored for some of his charitable efforts. He runs a charity, a foundation, I think it's called Love Jones for Kids. And anyway, one of, I believe, what is Jones' marketing agents informed us via Twitter yesterday. If you click that link, it says, "Congratulations, James Jones, for award from the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. Well deserved." From Brian Lammy of Lammy Sports, which, like I said, one of James Jones' marketing firms, if you will. So Jones has done some charitable work with the Milwaukee Rescue Mission. He's done a lot of things. He puts on clinics, football camps, and I left a link to in today's Packers Data Links about some a camp James Jones is running in San Jose. So congratulations to him. And, you know, I suppose this is the award portion of the show here. Also, going back to the Data Links, just underneath that, Wayne Larrivee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers radio network, was honored yesterday as well. And that's what he said on Twitter. Wayne Larrivee. Oh, and looks like we don't have that here on Twitter. At least my screenshot is not working right now. We'll see if it comes up here. No, I'm not working. Anyway, Wayne Larrivee was honored by the Wisconsin chapter of the Public Relations Society as Communicator of the Year. He informed us via Twitter yesterday about that. So congratulations to Wayne Larrivee, Mr. Dagger. The Dagger. Sergeant Stanley says, "Railbird coming in loud and clear over here in Bonnie, Scotland." Very good. We're reaching international levels here on Railbird Central. Thank you for joining us, Sarge Stanley, Sergeant Stanley. I'm not sure how we pronounce that, but thanks for joining us. It's great to have you here representing the UK here at Cheesehead TV. David comments, "Bob Harlan has done a lot for the Packers. Doesn't get the credit he deserves." He absolutely has. I mean, the whole stadium issue itself, Bob Harlan deserves a lot of credit for getting that thing voted in by taxpayers, having them help fund the renovation of Lambeau Field. If that never happened, it would be getting questionable right now whether the Packers would still be in Green Bay. I'm sure they would have lasted for a while, but without a new stadium, the renovation of a stadium, they would be falling on some hard times. They were able to get, a lot of additional revenue with the addition of things like Curly's Pub, a larger pro shop, the Hall of Fame, all on site. So, that's just been a great thing for the Green Bay Packers. And Bob Harlan, the former president of the Packers, deserves a boatload of credit for doing all that work. Now retired, he's now the chairman. I forget his title exactly, but he's still like a consultant to the Packers as part of their board for the time being. Other news today in the headlines of the Green Bay Packers, and this is interesting right here. Yesterday on the Packers official website, they had a feature article on rookie linebacker DJ Smith. And this is, I found this article to be really good. And, of course, this leads in appropriately to his appearance here on Railbird Central coming up shortly later this morning, bottom of the hour. They interviewed his position coach at Appalachian State. I believe his position coach was Dale Jones, if I'm correct. And anyhow, well, right here, click this link, takes you to the Packers official website. And the beginning of the story at Packers.com is really good. It's very engaging. And bear with me here while I read a couple paragraphs. And, it'll help us get to know the guy we're going to talk to here very shortly. Written by Mike Spofford. He writes, quote, DJ Smith knows how to make a first impression. Back in 2007, as a freshman at Appalachian State, Smith joined a team that won back-to-back NCAA football championship subdivision, formerly Division I AA, titles, and his competition at weak side linebacker was a senior and three-year starter named Cam Spear. By mid-season, the coaching staff had given Spear's job to Smith. Even more impressive, the veteran starter would have given it to the youngster too. Quote, it came to a time where I had to go talk to Spear and explain to him what I was going to have to do because DJ was more productive, Appalachian State defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Dale Jones said. So I brought him in the office and he looked at me, and before I could even say anything, the kid said, Coach, I know. DJ was that good. And I really encourage you to read the rest of that article on DJ Smith. It's a good primer here as we talk to him very shortly. So excited to talk to DJ Smith. He racked up over 500 tackles at Appalachian State. And remember, Appalachian State, even though it is in FCS, it's not 1A. Not Division I as you know it, with the big schools like the Big Ten, SEC, Pac-10, Big 12, Big East, ACC, etc., etc. Appalachian State could beat a lot of the teams in 1A, or at least they could have kind of during their heyday there when they were winning titles. You remember Appalachian State is the team that beat Michigan in the Big House. And what was that back in 2006, 2007? Everybody remembers that game. That was a huge upset. Huge. The article, if you read it all, it goes on to explain that how DJ Smith really performed well against some of the larger schools that Appalachian State had on its schedule, had on the docket. Schools like Florida and LSU, schools from the SEC. So, he has experience, even though he's from FCS. They schedule those large games, and we've seen him beat Michigan in the Big House. The honored tradition there at Michigan. That was kind of the beginning of Michigan's lull here the past several years. I mean, everybody knows Michigan is one of the most respected programs in all of college football. It was kind of like at that point, they kind of started once they lost to Appy State. You know, that kind of was the, went a little downhill from there. Now, that was still under Lloyd Carr, if I remember. But, you know, that they brought in Rich Rodriguez, and, you know, they had a losing season there where they didn't make a bowl game, and, you know, things were not going in the right direction for Michigan. You know, they don't have losing seasons there. David comments on the live blog, that was the game that pretty much got Lloyd Carr fired. Yes, it was. It's, I can remember that game like it was yesterday. Just being stunned here, Appalachian State, not even Division 1A, beating Michigan in the Big House on their home territory. You know, me as a Wisconsin fan, that was very exciting to see. So yeah, Pac fan wants us, Michigan still plays football. So yeah, you know, Appalachian State, they've been a premier program in 1AA FCS. You know, they've won a couple national titles, at one during Smith's freshman year. And, you know, they won a few there. Was it only two, perhaps? But, I mean, they've been a contender in the 1AA playoffs after that as well. And as I understand, Appalachian State is just kind of a school that, you know, it revolves around football there. That is a big-time football school. I mean, they take it very seriously there. If you go to school there, you are very into that program. And, you know, they have, from what I hear, they have the support of their administration. And the administration goes to the games. And a very big environment there. So, you know, excited to see how DJ Smith fits into this team. He was kind of a very unheralded player. You know, not highly rated, highly ranked, you know, certainly one of the, I doubt many Packer fans have ever heard of him prior to the NFL draft. I mean, if you're kind of a draft nick and follow the draft closely, I'm sure you've heard of him. He went to the NFL Combine back in February, but, you know, a name that's not known to fans off the top of their head. So anyway, here, it's getting near the bottom of the hour. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to hope to have DJ Smith on the line. So hang with me here. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking to new Packers rookie linebacker DJ Smith. Be back in a couple minutes.
This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Welcome back to Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. And on the phone right this moment, I have new Packers rookie linebacker DJ Smith of Appalachian State. DJ, how are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Very good. It is good to have you on the show. Good to hear from one of the newest members of the Packers. DJ, you started all 4 years of your career at Appalachian State and racked up over 500 tackles, which is, to me, absolutely amazing. How did you do that?
How did I do? Well, it was a lot of hard work going in. Coaches put me in a great position to come in, you know, compete for a spot to play, and I just, you know, took it head on and accepted the challenge and just, you know, went out every game. You know, just be the leader on the team and just do whatever the coaches need me to do. Make tackles.
I've read about you being compared to former Appalachian State alum Dexter Coakley, who went on to have a very good career in the NFL. Are those comparisons accurate? Do you model yourself after Coakley?
I wouldn't say they're so much accurate, but, I mean, it's good company to be in. I mean, when you compare it to a guy that made, what, led our school, what, 16, I think he had 616 tackles, I think.
Wow.
I mean, that's great company to be in. Then with the full career that he had, I mean, it's great company. That's all I got to say about that.
So who do you compare yourself to then? You know, we don't know you very well. If there's an NFL player you're going to be like, who do you think that is?
I would say probably the size-wise of a James Harrison, but the aggressiveness of like a Ray Lewis.
Those are some very good names. If you can turn out to be like James Harrison or Ray Lewis, I think Packer fans will enjoy that very much. For those of us, again, who don't know you very well, what's the strength of your game, DJ? What are some of your strengths?
My strength of my game is getting to the ball, recognizing the offenses, recognizing plays, and getting to the ball as fast as possible. Leadership, I mean, was real big. Was a real big part of my game.
You were a team captain, I assume?
2 years at college. 4 years, 3 years at high school, 2 years in college.
Okay. We're talking to DJ Smith, a recent draft choice of the Green Bay Packers. DJ, we just talked about some of your strengths. Now, what are some of the things you're going to have to work on at the next level of the NFL?
Well, the main thing I would want to work on is, you know, getting bigger, but you know, I can't fight that. So probably would just be my blocks and my block shedding, but that'll probably be my biggest focal point when I first get in.
You're 5'11", which is, you know, comparatively shorter than a lot of linebackers in the NFL. How do you respond to any concerns that you might be too short for the position?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, no matter how big you are, how tall you are, you got to be able to produce and make plays and get the job done. And I feel, you know, through our high school, my college career, I was able to get that done no matter what size I was. So that's what I say to people who say, you know, he's not big enough to play the game and this and that. But at the end of the day, I get the job done, and that's all that matters.
Very good answer. I mean, it's what matters is production, right? I mean, no matter how you get it done, if you get it done, that's what counts.
Right.
Many times, until a player becomes established in the league, you know, they cut their teeth on special teams. How do you feel about special teams, DJ? What units do you have experience playing on?
I had experience playing on all units. My freshman year, sophomore year of college, I played on all units. So I'm familiar with everything.
You're ready to be one of those kamikaze guys running down the field on kickoffs?
The nut squad is what my dad used to call it. I am, so I'm ready to be a part of anything to help the team win and get to another Super Bowl.
The nut squad, very good. Now, if I'm correct, you played at the NFLPA All-Star Game this offseason. How did that experience go?
That experience probably was, if not one of the greatest times in my pre-pro career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting to play with all these other guys. I mean, you always want, you know, those 4 years you're at school, you're like, man, I wonder what it's like to play with other guys. You know, I finally got that experience, got the opportunity, and it was fun.
Did you meet with the Packers while you were there at all? Did you meet with them at the combine? Did you have any idea they were going to draft you at all?
I had no idea at all. I didn't have any meetings or anything like that. Because I was thinking, you know, I was like, oh, they're 3-14, so you probably won't, you know, based on what people are saying about your height and, you know, they've been a 3-14, you know, 3-4 defense, you know, they have pretty big linebackers. So I was like, nah, Packers probably wouldn't be a team they're looking at me. But, I mean, like they say in the draft, you never know.
Of course, the lockout is going on right now. What's your reaction to that? I mean, do you wish right now you were, I imagine you have to wish you were in Green Bay and going through mini camp and things like that?
My reaction to it, like, I mean, you know, as a player, you want to play, you want to get in there, you know, you want to prove your team and, you know, get some type of accountability with your teammates and just show the coaches, you know, what you know and what you're willing to learn and you're willing to do whatever it takes to make the team. But, I mean, you know, business is business. It has to be handled.
what are you doing right now to stay in shape? I mean, where are you working out? Are you back at Appalachian State?
Oh, no. I'm at home right now, and I'm in Charlotte working out. Any gym I can find, I work out probably about 4 times a week, running and weightlifting. So I'm doing whatever it takes to stay in shape.
Have you made contact with any of the current players on the team, some of the veterans or other rookies for that matter?
No, I haven't been in contact with anybody. Following guys on Twitter or whatever, you know,
okay.
Sharing things through that. And I believe I'm going to the Donald Driver softball game.
Oh, very good, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be in that. I think it's June 4th, June the 4th through the 6th.
Very good. We look forward to seeing you there. I think I might be there. So if I see you, I'll introduce myself. You said you're on Twitter. What's your name, your handle?
Official DJ Smith.
Official DJ Smith. DJ, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. We're excited to see you on the field of play and see what you've got.
Okay, thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Thanks for joining us this morning, DJ.
All right.
DJ Smith, the newest linebacker of the Green Bay Packers, joining us here on Railbird Central this morning. Fantastic to hear from him. Sounds like a really good kid. Going to be at the Donald Driver Celebrity Softball Game. Going to be held, what did he say? It's in June, early June. At Fox City Stadium, it's not called Fox City Stadium anymore. It used to be called that, if I'm correct. They've changed the name. Is it Time Warner Cable Fields? Something like that. But yeah, where the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers play in Grand Chute, Wisconsin. So, you know, if you want to check out DJ and a lot of members of the Green Bay Packers, there's going to be a lot of them there. So I encourage you. Seems like fairly reasonable price tickets. Good place to get some autographs as well. Alex Talich leaving a link on the live blog to his thoughts on the Donald Driver Celebrity Softball Game a year ago. So with that, I open the phone lines back up here. Talking to DJ Smith, what you thought of the interview or thought of him and where he fits into the team. He steps into a position. It looks like he's going to be one of the inside linebackers on the team, in the same group as A.J. Hawk, Desmond Bishop, Nick Barnett, Brandon Chiller. So that's going to be where DJ Smith fits in what's been thought to be a very, deep group of inside linebackers, and where he fits in, it's not really sure. Even where some of these veterans fit in, it's not really sure. Mike McCarthy has come out and said this offseason, and what's kind of surprising, that A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop are going to be the incumbent starters. And, there's kind of some, other places in the NFL, there's kind of these thoughts that you cannot lose your job due to injury. When you come back from injury, you're the incumbent starter if you were the incumbent to begin with. So, I mean, this is kind of surprising. Nick Barnett was one of the starters on the teams. And now to say he's not going to get that first crack, he's not going to get that first shot. That came as a surprise. And now, of course, there's a lot of rumors out there that Nick Barnett may be traded. Of course, he can't be traded right now with the lockout. There's no collective bargaining agreement. So, if and when they hammer that out, could he be traded? There's so much, so many variables. It's almost hard to predict whether that could happen, whether a team would even want to have him with, perhaps so little time to prepare for a season. I don't know whether that would be a detriment or not. I mean, Nick Barnett is a veteran in the NFL, 8 or 9 year veteran coming up here. And, he certainly would be, probably have an easier time learning schemes than perhaps a rookie. He's been around the block before. But anyway, a very unstable position. You know, if Nick Barnett is gone, that kind of opens up a spot here for a DJ Smith to win a roster spot on this team. And like they said before, you know, Brandon Chiller is around as well. And Brandon Chiller was signed to a long-term contract extension just, I believe, 2 seasons ago. You know, he kind of has a very high salary for what is a backup. You know, a guy who's not a starter. So, you know, they've talked about, you know, him as well. What, you know, where he fits into the team. Could he be traded? Could he be released? Which, again, would open the door for perhaps a DJ Smith, who's going to have a very comparatively low salary as a rookie in the first couple years of his career. You know, if DJ Smith makes the team this year, you know, almost no matter what happens to guys like Barnett, guys like Chiller, you know, DJ Smith is going to have to, you know, make it on his special teams play. And the Packers have not been good at special teams for a couple years now. So there's an opportunity for him. If he can be, what did he call it? The nut team? I love that, the nut team. I like to call it the kamikaze squad. Just going down there and, you know, just beating yourself up for the sake of the team. But the nut squad, if he can be a member of the nut squad, you know, there's going to be space for him on the team, because the Packers really need to improve their special teams. They had a good offense last year, had a good defense. Special teams was their weakness, and a lot of it was the coverage units covering kicks, covering punts. They just didn't have great guys doing it. They had some okay guys, you know, even some good guys, just not 11 good guys. Jarrett Bush, fantastic year last year, probably the best year of his career. You know, how many times were we talking about him last season going and downing punts inside the 20 on the goal line, things like that, making tackles, you know, great job. You know, the Packers need more of those guys. You know, Corey Hall, very good special teams player, unfortunately been injured a lot. They need guys like that on the team. PacFan1 says, why not trade Chiller? And that could be a possibility. You know, I think they do like him, obviously, as a backup. They gave him that contract extension. If an injury happens to occur, which happened to both Chiller and Barnett last year, two inside linebackers, they like to have that depth. You know, they like to have that backup, you know, go in there and, and make plays. You know, a guy they don't have to worry about. They don't have to worry about inserting a rookie in there. They can have an established backup, a guy they can count on, a guy they can rely on. So I guess that's why you don't trade Chiller. The reason you do would be because of his salary, because you can get something in return. You could get a draft choice in return, if not a player. Doubtful to be a player, but a draft choice perhaps. You know, if a guy like DJ Smith turns out to be a very, very good draft choice, you know, that would only encourage them to trade somebody like Chiller. But again, you know, here's the whole CBA playing into this picture again. You know, for all rookies here, if they're not in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, you're going to have to rely on your veterans. These are going to be guys who, you know, let's say they come to an agreement, a CBA at the 11th hour. You know, all of a sudden you got a couple weeks of practice and that's it. You're starting regular season games. Well, these rookies, I mean, they barely have enough time to learn the playbook, let alone be productive players their first year in the NFL. And we all know how tough it is as a rookie to be productive in your first year. No, in a regular season, in a normal season, where they have, you know, where they've already begun these preparations. So already this year, the Packers have missed rookie orientation. That's gone. the post-draft rookie orientation camp. That's gone. That's missed. That will not be happening. And it's right about now, right about this time of year as we speak, that they are starting OTAs. So unless the Packers, unless the NFL comes to an agreement post-haste in the next couple days, which is not going to happen, they're going to miss OTAs and they're going to miss minicamp. And, unless they come to an agreement in June or July, time in training camp might be missed as well. So this is going to, the further this lags on, the more, this really hurts the rookies who, do not have a chance to learn from their coaches, things like that. PacFan1 comments, rookies paying the biggest price for no CBA, undrafted free agents, their careers literally put on hold, a shame. And it is. David comments earlier, Derek Martin makes a lot of plays on special teams. He did. Derek Martin was a very good special teams player. Derek Martin cut by the Green Bay Packers this offseason. No longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. No longer. Yeah, he was one of those couple players that were cut right after the season ended. Tight end Don Lee being another one. So I guess that was kind of a way the Packers, saved a little money, cut a little salary in the process. And they probably weren't, happy with the injuries as well. You don't want an injury-prone guy on your team. I guess I shouldn't go as far as saying Derek Martin is injury-prone. But, of course, the Packers probably didn't like that as well. So here they are going to try to upgrade the special teams with guys like DJ Smith, another guy, another rookie they drafted this year, seventh rounder, Ryan Taylor, a tight end. Even though he's listed as a tight end, folks, Ryan Taylor, they drafted him because of his special teams play. They thought in the seventh round on a Super Bowl winning team, we are going to take who we think to be one of the best special teams players in the entire draft. One of the guys who can be on the nut team, the kamikaze squad. Because the Packers have so much depth and they're so good everywhere else, they have a good offense, they got a good defense, they realize this is an area we need to improve. Special teams. So we're going to get guys like DJ Smith, who racked up over 500 tackles in college. If he has that nose for a football, hopefully he'll have it on special teams as well. And a guy like Ryan Taylor, I think he was like a 3-year special teams captain at North Carolina, something like that. A guy that are going to help out those units. Mex Pack asks on our live blog, do agents front rookies money until their contract is signed? I think that is a practice. They will give them money until a contract is signed, until they start, making money from their organization. I think that is a practice that they do in the NFL. I don't know how much they give them. I'm sure they don't give them unlimited amounts of money, but, enough for them to rent an apartment. I'm sure a lot of rookies perhaps maybe don't buy a house unless they're established. Maybe some do. Maybe if you're one of the top first, second, third round guys making some very good money, might buy a house. But I think a lot of guys rent. Especially the lower end guys, rookies, things like that. Perhaps it would depend upon if you have a family as well. So anyway, yes, agents do front rookies money. And, enough to get them by. I mean, agents themselves make some fairly good money as well. So they can afford it. And they'll know they'll get it back eventually. So, these players are bound by contract to repay this money as well. PacFan1 says, here you go, Cam. Don't blow the first million this week. Yeah, Cam Newton, number one overall draft choice in the NFL. I still didn't like that choice. Cam Newton. I can't believe, you know, he's going to be, you know, not that I think Cam Newton can't be an effective player in the NFL. I just think the number one overall draft choice was very, very high for him. I've said this before. I see him as a Dante Culpepper. Dante Culpepper in the right system can be, you know, a good quarterback, a quarterback you can win with. I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with Dante Culpepper. So I didn't see Dante Culpepper being worth number one overall draft choice. I see Cam Newton a lot like Tim Tebow. And here, Tim Tebow, you know, the rumor is John Elway doesn't like Tim Tebow after 1 year after making him a first-round draft choice. You know, they're thinking of getting rid of him. So, yeah, Cam Newton. We'll see. Maybe I'll be proved wrong. The tools are there. I mean, the raw tools, he could be a very good player. I just think it'll take some time. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I could be proved wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. That's for sure. Wouldn't be the first time. Oh, going back to take a look at some of today's Packers daily links. You know, I just might touch on some of these very briefly here. So, some pretty good links today, if you haven't had time to go through all of them yet. An article written by Bill Huber of Packer Report. He actually writes the article for Fox Sports Wisconsin, but kind of wrote about the uncertainty of free agency, kind of how you don't know whether guys will be restricted free agents or unrestricted, and mentions in particular guys like Darren College, Brandon Jackson's, James Jones, Mason Crosby. You don't know what's going to happen to these guys, how they're going to be, you know, classified in free agency, whether the Packers will get first crack at them or not. And so I, you know, it's a difficult thing to, you know, wrap your mind around how free agency works and how it relates to the CBA, things like that. Dan Arkish of Pro Football Weekly talks about free agency in 2012. Now we're really getting ahead of ourselves. Mentions two players in particular, Ryan Grant and Jermichael Finley, who will be free agents next year. You know, and what's going to happen with them? Are the Packers going to have re-sign them? Are they going to have the money to re-sign them? Very, you know, it's so far in the future, it's almost not worth talking about. I mean, you talk about it because there's nothing else to talk about at this time of year in the off season, and because these guys will be making millions upon millions of dollars. They're kind of, you know, some of the more well-known names. So we'll see how that goes. We'll be talking about 1 year from today. You know, Jermichael Finley is talked about at Acme Packing Company, his future with the team, whether he'll be back next year as well. Kind of, you know, almost talking about the same topic as Pro Football Weekly. Another article at CBSSports.com, Len Pasquarelli. Didn't he used to be for ESPN, Len Pasquarelli? Anyway, now he's with CBS, and he wrote an article holding up B.J. Raji as one of the players who, defensive lineman who improved from year one to year two in the NFL, and then says that Mike Neal might kind of follow in those footsteps. You know, lists a bunch of defensive linemen, young guys from around the NFL, but puts Mike Neal in that category as a guy who might step up. And absolutely. I think Mike Neal is a guy who might surprise a lot of people. You know, if you're a Packer fan, if you watch the Packers closely, follow training camp, follow every single game, you know Mike Neal. You know he's got talent. He impressed a lot of people last year in limited time. Yeah, obviously he had the, you know, season-ending injury early in the season and didn't play a ton, but you know that he flashed. He flashed quite a bit, and as long as he can get over this injury, you know, he might be the starter here, especially if Cullen Jenkins leaves via free agency, and he's going to be a guy that could be a starter and is going to surprise a lot of people because a lot of people don't know Mike Neal. So, yeah, a guy who absolutely could be on a lot of national radars, again, a year from now, as people learn who he is. At the Sporting News, Russ Land tries to analyze Matt Flynn as a starting quarterback for other NFL teams, another potential trade candidate. We talked about Nick Barnett earlier being a trade candidate. Here's Matt Flynn being talked about as a trade candidate. And again, you know, the CBA plays so much into this. Have no clue what will happen with the CBA, how it'll play out, whether teams would be willing to trade for Flynn, you know, right before the season with only weeks to learn a new offense. And as I say, you know, are the Packers willing to trade Flynn and allow Graham Harrell to be their primary backup? You know, I'm not sure they're ready to go along that route yet, if they're ready to tread those waters. Sarge Stanley comments, I think the bigger question in the backfield is Brandon Jackson going to make the roster. Yeah, that is that's a good question. He's an uncertain guy too. You know, he's a free agent. He may be restricted. He may be not. Does he want to go somewhere and try to be a premier back? Is he going to try to make more money than what he'll get with the Packers? Of course, we've talked before about how his agent is now Drew Rosenhaus. So, you know, is he going to command too much money, you know, that the Packers would be willing to meet? It's 9 o'clock, folks, and I'm going to take off. Beautiful Friday, beautiful day here in Wisconsin. My goodness, it's going to be 70 plus degrees today. Sunny out. I'm going to try to enjoy the day as much as possible. Might get a run in later today. We'll see. Anyway, have a good weekend, folks. Rapture this weekend. Hopefully I'll see everybody next week on Tuesday for our next episode of Railbird Central. Hopefully we'll all be alive then. Some wacko group thinks it's going to be the rapture this weekend. Anyhow, thanks for joining us, everyone. For our moderators, Alex Talich, Jamie Jors, thank you. Thanks for joining us. We will see everybody a little bit later. See ya.